that we preach up here on a weekly basis, and I'll look at the text and look at the subject that we're dealing with, and I know it's going to help some people, but I don't know that it'll be a message for all the people. That's not this kind of message. This kind of message is for everyone here, because all of us knows what it is to worry, to feel anxiety. And if we're not currently struggling with it, chances are you know someone very, very close to you who is. We all worry, we all have anxiety, and so today in our resilience series, we're talking about how to come back stronger than ever from these things. If you're taking notes, and I encourage you to, the title of the message is simply this: Overcoming Worry and Anxiety. Now, I want to say at the outset here, I'm aware that this is a bigger issue for some than it is for others. When we talk about worry and anxiety, this is certainly not a one-size-fits-all category. For some of you, your worry and anxiety, it's like a nagging cough, right? It's just always there, doesn't seem to go away. For there others of you, it comes in waves. And that wave crests, and it'll crash down on your soul, and then it goes away. And you know another one's coming, you just don't know when. For the others of you, you're like Jessica. It's debilitating in your life. The anxiety is so overwhelming, so severe, that like her, you feel like you're drowning and you can't catch your breath. She used the term hopeless. And maybe that describes where you are with your anxiety and worry. And so the question today is, does the Bible that we read, the authoritative Word of God that we stand on and stand under, have any word of counsel, advice? Can it speak to our worry and anxiety? And the answer is absolutely yes. If you have your Bibles, I want to encourage you to take them and turn to Philippians chapter 4. Now, I said in the introductory message of this series, I think it's important to reiterate here, that for some, the best thing you could do for your anxiety, especially if it is overwhelming you to a point of concern, meaning that you do not feel yourself, you're despondent, you're despairing, maybe you feel depressed, I want to encourage you to schedule an appointment with your physician and talk to them about it. There could be some biological contributing factors at play, and it could be that God could use a certain prescription of medicine for this certain time that could help you in a specific and significant way. And if that's the help that you need, I want to encourage you to get that help. That doesn't make you less than. What I believe many of us need as it relates to anxiety and worry is to simply be able to talk about it with someone, to process it. And so it may be that you need to schedule an appointment with a licensed counselor, a biblical counselor. Very minimum, contact our offices. We have on our homepage, championforest.org, a resource page, and it has all of our counselors on staff, seasoned pastors that you can talk to, and we can at least maybe point you in the right direction, listen to you, and allow you to open up. I'm going to be preaching in a few weeks on shame and guilt. And I'm going to talk in that message about the importance of sharing what is dark in your life with someone else, getting that which is dark into the light, because when it's in the dark, it can't grow. And for some, your worry and anxiety, you're keeping it in, you're not talking about it with anyone. And I can promise you, as you keep it in the dark, you will not grow. In fact, the only thing that will grow is you try to hide it, not talk about it. The only thing that will grow is your anxiety, your worry. And so out of the gate, I just want to put a bright light on making sure that you share what's going on in your world with someone. I'm telling you, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the place to share it. This is why life groups are so important. You know, we break this big church down into small groups for every age, stage, and demographic. And after this service, if you're not in a life group, I really want to encourage you, go to our connections desk and just get a few options and visit them all. When you find the right one, you'll know it's there. But it's in these life groups where you celebrate life's victories with other believers, and you walk through life's defeats, and you're prayed for, and you use your spiritual gifts. And this is where you can share with someone what's going on in your life. They're not going to judge you. They're going to come alongside you. They're going to walk with you, pray with you. I can't encourage you enough to get into a life group. It could be life-changing for you. We've got to talk about it. Word anxious here, it literally means to be pulled in different directions. We get the word worry from an old English word that means to choke or to strangle. And isn't this the perfect picture of what anxiety and what worry does in our lives? We feel like we're coming apart. We feel like we're being choked, strangled. Just like Jessica said, we can't seem to catch our breath, come up for air. This is what anxiety, this is what worry does. And so how can we overcome it? Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 6. I'm telling you, there's a weight to this message today. I told my wife this week in preparation, I said, baby, this message on worry and anxiety is giving me worry and anxiety, all right? Because I know how significant it is to so very many. And I'm just praying that God will take His word by the power of His Holy Spirit, do what only He can do in these few minutes in His word, and that is to speak and comfort our hearts. Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 6, the Bible says this: do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, amazing word, isn't it? You ought to circle it there in your Bibles. The peace of God, the exact opposite of what so many people here today and watching online are feeling in this moment. You do anything for peace of mind, for peace of heart, for peace in the deep recesses of your being. The Bible says you bring to God your request, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. If you want to overcome anxiety and worry, it starts by walking down a path called prayer. That's how we overcome it. Prayer. Now, don't check out on me on this. I know what some of you are thinking. Jarrett, that's the best you got? My worries, my concerns, the things that are causing me anxiety. And you're telling me that the answer is as simple as prayer? Because if so, you're going to have to do better than that. I mean, isn't that the thought, Jarrett? Don't bring that. Don't just start speaking Christianese to me. I need something more. Besides that, I have prayed and my anxiety is still present. And so just you saying that, Jarrett, is insulting. More than that, I'm not very strong in my prayer life. And so the fact that you're saying this is the answer, you're just adding to my anxiety. If you're thinking that way, I totally understand, because I felt the same way when reading this passage. And I was praying and I said, God, is this the best you can give me? Because I'm going to have to tell the people that on Sunday. And I'm going to need you to have my back when I do. And as I studied this passage, began to look at what Paul commands here, it became very apparent to me that Paul knew exactly what he was talking about and that prayer really is the answer. You want to overcome your worry. You want to overcome your anxiety. It starts by walking on a path called prayer. Let's work this out. You know, when we study the scriptures, we have a tendency to come to the scriptures and say, okay, God, what do you have to say to me today? What does this say about me? And it's not a bad question to ask. We need to ask that question. But the first question we ask when we come to the scriptures, God, what does this text teach me about you? Because when we learn what it teaches about God, we'll conform to His word, what He says about Himself. And here we get three major insights into what this text teaches about God as it relates to our worry and our anxiety. Number one is this: God knows we are prone to worry and anxiety. This is why Paul makes the command here in Scripture, do not be anxious. It's no secret that we would struggle with this. I mean, remember, God created us, knit us together in our mother's womb. knows the numbers of hair on our head. A sparrow, the Bible says, doesn't fall to the ground without his knowledge. But we know that God is aware of the fact that we struggle with this. In fact, Paul right here in Philippians chapter 4 is simply quoting Jesus. If you're taking notes, write down Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34. You can read it in your own time. It's the Sermon on the Mount. Three times in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus himself, these words are written in red. This is Jesus speaking three times. He's going to tell the people, do not be anxious. And he's speaking to a group of people who were poor. They didn't have anything. And most of them were following him because he fed 5,000 and they didn't know where their next meal was going to come from. They had nothing. And he tells them not to be anxious. I'm talking today to a room full of people who have everything. And he tells us the same thing. Do not be anxious. We have such a tendency to worry. And Jesus knows it's not healthy for us. A couple of weeks ago, I was looking for some side effects to some medicine that I was taking. So I went to WebMD to check it out. Let me encourage you. Never, ever, 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 ever under any circumstances go to WebMD and put something in there, all right? I was starting to feel all sorts of things looking at WebMD. But I knew I was preaching on this passage. And so I just typed in worry. And here's what WebMD says about our worry. Chronic worry can affect your daily life so much that it may interfere with your appetite, lifestyle habits, relationships, sleep, and job performance. Some of you can amen that. Many people who worry excessively are so anxiety-ridden that they seek relief in harmful lifestyle habits such as overeating, cigarette smoking, or using alcohol and drugs. Anxiety disorders are commonplace in the U.S., affecting nearly 40 million adults. And we know with this COVID-19 pandemic, those numbers are only on the rise, all of the stresses and worries of life that has brought. I'm telling you, Jesus knew what he was talking about when he told the people not to worry in his day, and he knows what he's talking about when he tells us not to worry in our day. It's not good for us. Spiritually, physically, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25, the first part says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down. It's not good. Not only is it not good for us, it doesn't do us any good. Jesus, in that same passage, Matthew chapter 6, verse 27, in which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life? It's been said that worry is like a rocking chair. It's a lot of work, but you ain't moving nowhere. It's true. Worrying and being anxious doesn't do us any good. But let's be honest. This advice from Paul, do not be anxious. Who's again quoting Jesus, do not be anxious. I mean, I read it and on the surface, I want to go, man, you don't know my situation. Like, I want to make an appeal. You have no idea what I'm up against. You don't know the circumstances that I'm facing. And then I start thinking about Paul's life and where he was when he penned Philippians chapter 4. And you want to know where he was? Prison. His circumstances weren't all that rosy either. And according to his own testimony, he had been beaten, he had been shipwrecked, he had been left for dead on occasion. In other words, Paul had some skins on the wall. He knew what he was talking about. And so when we hear him say this command today, do not be anxious about anything, the point is we can take this with authority because Paul knew what he was talking about. We can receive this word. Now listen, what Paul and Jesus are saying here in do not be anxious, they're not saying live in this carefree, careless, laissez-faire, whatever happens, happens kind of mindset. Zippity-doo-dah, all right? That's not what they're suggesting at all. As Christians, we have concerns that come into our lives. The job can get overwhelming at times. Finances can get tight and cause stress. Loved ones get sick and pass away. can cause worry and anxiety. Relationships can be a struggle. Like everyone else out there, Christians have concerns in life, and we're called to tackle those concerns, meet those concerns head on. What Jesus and Paul are arguing for here is that we've got to make sure that while we have concerns, our concerns don't have us. And so they make this command, don't be anxious. Interesting that most of that which worries us, causes anxiety, is it not true to say most of it that is outside of our control? Like if you were to pinpoint it today, there's nothing you could do about it. And yet, I believe God sent me here today to tell you that what is outside of your control is not outside of His control. And this God can handle our worries and anxieties. In fact, the Bible says He cares for us so very much. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, the scripture says, cast all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. And this casting means to throw. Throw your anxieties, throw your worries on Him. How do we do this? Through prayer. And this is point number two. This text highlights the fact that God knows we are prone to worry, to be anxious. That's why He gives us the command not to be anxious. But secondly, God has given us a means to deal with our worry and anxiety. That's prayer. Cast your anxieties on Him. He cares for you. Look at the second part of verse 6 there in Philippians chapter 4. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I appreciate the fact that Paul doesn't just tell us what not to do. Don't worry, don't fret, don't be anxious, but he tells us what to do. You should pray. Bring your request to the Lord in prayer. Now, at its most basic level, prayer is engaging God, being in a relationship with Him. And Paul suggests here that we are to pray about everything. That means nothing is too big, nothing is too small for God. If it's big enough to worry about, it's big enough to pray about. And God invites us to do just that. You know, we as parents, you as grandparents, some of you, you love the sound of the voice of your children and grandchildren. Well, don't you know God, our Father, loves the sound of His children? And this is what prayer does for us. Prayer is engaging with God. He uses a word here, supplication. Some of your Bibles, the word petition, it's not a word that we use often. I don't ever get up from dinner and say, okay, Debbie, I'm going to go supplicate for a little bit. We don't talk like that. The dictionary defines supplication as the act of asking or begging for something earnestly or humbly. It's petitioning. And so prayer is engaging God. The best definition I've ever been given of prayer is prayer is relationship. I mean, just as we breathe in air, exhale, that is prayer. It is the lifeblood of the believer. It's who we are more than what we do. Prayer is engaging God, seeking His face. But it's not just seeking His face, it's seeking His hand. We can ask God for certain things. I'm just telling you, church, the Lord is on me in this area of prayer, unlike a weight I've felt in a long time. And I'm just telling you, come the fall, we're going to have a prayer service here one night during the week, every week, and we're going to get after God in prayer. I don't know when I'm praying through it and thinking through it, but prayer is going to be the backbone of everything that we do. And Jesus invites us to do it. Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8. Ask, and it'll be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be open. God invites us to call on Him in prayer. Amazing to think about. That the God of the universe, I mean, the one that spoke the world into existence, one who channels the king's heart in His hands, as the old song goes, He's got the whole world in His hands. This God invites us to enter into a relationship with Him through prayer where we can bring Him our concerns and our worries and our anxieties, and He listens to us. He doesn't only listen to us, but He can do something about our worries and our anxieties and our concerns. He has that kind of power. We can ask Him to move on our behalf. We can ask Him to give us strength to endure. But it comes by prayer. I couldn't help but think of that old hymn that we sing in church, used to sing that, what a friend we have in Jesus. Thinking about just the fact that God invites us to pray. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. That's what Paul's saying here. Take your worries, take your concerns, bring them before the Lord and earnestly call out to Him. Scripture says here, verse 6, that with thanksgiving, we are to let our requests be made known to God. You know why thanksgiving is so important? Because it's a perspective changer. Oftentimes, all we can see when we're in the middle of a crisis is the worry, the anxiety that is right in front of us. It settles in on our life like a fog. What is the scriptural analysis for that fog lifting? It is prayer of thanksgiving. Counting your blessings, because when you do, you see that God is able, that God has moved in the past on your behalf, and that He can move again. You count what God's doing in your life. And those prayers of thanksgiving all of a sudden will just lift that fog and allow you to see clearly once again. This is warfare prayer that I'm talking about. This is not casually engaging the Lord. Now, we see prayers in Scripture. God hears all of our prayers. We see prayers in Scripture. Peter's walking on water and he begins to drown. He says, Lord, save me. I mean, that's a prayer right there. Lord, save me. The Bible says Jesus immediately reached down and grabbed him. The prayer I'm talking about is not a casual prayer. Not a prayer of an emergency, which again, God hears. The prayer I'm talking about is warfare prayer. The enemy wants nothing but to steal, kill, and destroy your life. And that's not just physically, that is emotionally. He wants to rob you of peace of mind, peace of heart, keep you up at night. He wants your life so full of anxiety so that you're not walking in confidence with God, not trusting in the Lord. That's what he wants. He'll do everything in his power to make it happen. Jesus came to give you life, the scripture says, and life to its fullest. And one of the ways that we experience this is to grow in this area of prayer. If you're not where you need to be, you're not alone as it relates to being strong in prayer. Most believers that I meet with, if you ask them the two areas they wish they could grow in, it's one of two areas, almost without exception. Prayer and sharing their faith. We all want to get stronger in this. So how do we do it? Let me very quickly just give you three exercises to help you grow in prayer, to strengthen that muscle of prayer, all right? I'm going to need you to use your hands, all right? So you can put your pen, Bibles down. I need you to get your hands ready, all right? Because these are exercises, okay? Just like you exercise a physical muscle, what I'm going to take you through right now is exercising spiritual muscles. You've heard of sweating to the oldies, all right? Richard Simmons, sweating to the oldies. It's like a train wreck. You can't take your eyes off of him, man. I'm just watching. This is sweating to the holies, all right? Here we go. You do these exercises, you're going to get stronger in prayer. You ready? Hands down. Just put your hands right here. That's mind on Christ, all right? That's mind on Christ. I'm learning here in Houston. You can put them down. Mind on Christ, all right? More you do it, the stronger you get. I'm learning here in Houston that barbecuing is a thing, okay? Like a sport. And people are passionate about it. Like, I'm scared to even ask a question because I'll get like emails and texts and this is how you should do it and what you should do. I mean, it's important here. I do know a little something about barbecuing, and that is the longer you saturate, the longer you soak that meat and whatever it is, marinate, the longer it goes, the juicier it gets. the better it is. Hey, Christian, the longer we put our mind in God's Word, all right, the better it gets, all right? And so when life starts to squeeze us, what comes out is the Word of God. We're not driven by our feelings. We're not driven by our emotions, as legitimate as they are. But instead, we are driven by the truth of God's Word. And if you don't think this is important in this context here in Philippians chapter 4, just look at verse 8. We read verse 6 and 7. The verse that follows, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. We've talked about the role of the mind in a believer's life. And if you missed any of these messages, I'm telling you, go back and listen to them, because the mind is so very important. Where are you putting your mind? Your mind's got to be on Christ. Think on these things, not what brings confusion, not what brings you down, not what's bringing you discouragement. You think on these things, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. One of my favorite verses to give people who may be going through a tough time, maybe they're facing a surgery or they're recuperating after a surgery. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. You keep him in perfect peace, that word that we're after. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because they trust in you. It's your mind. So, mind on Christ. Second exercise, you ready? Mind on Christ. Let's do it together. Sweat into the holies, mind on Christ. All right, here we go. Knees on the floor. Knees on the floor. All right, mind on Christ, knees on the floor. Here's what that means. Obviously, I'm speaking of prayer, but when I say knees on the floor, it's figurative language. Meaning this, when you take the posture of putting your knees on the floor, you're being intentional. You're prioritizing prayer. It's figurative language for just being intentional about your prayer. Again, this is warfare prayer here. Max Lucado said this, no one can pray and worry at the same time. Amen. You let your worries drive you to Jesus, not further away. You let your anxieties drive you to Christ in prayer. Look for an outlet anywhere else to relieve the stress, the anxiety, the worry that you're feeling. Man, we see it do so much damage, whether it's alcohol or drug abuse, pornography. We're looking at a younger generation. And I'm telling you, God's on me about this too, about reaching the next generation. I want to reach you, but I want to reach your kids and your grandkids as well, because the enemy's stealing from them in so many ways. And so we've got our cell phones out. And I'm telling you, the comparison factor, which is a joy stealer, constantly in social media, that's not bringing peace. That's adding chaos. We've got to figure out a way. I mean, that's life. That's what we're living in. But we've got to teach our young people and even adults that, listen, that stuff's going to add anxiety to your life, not take it away. And prayer is where we deal with it. Wasn't even planning on saying that, all right? Listen, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Listen to the Message translation. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. And so, to develop those prayer muscles, we go mind on Christ. We go knees on the floor. And we go hands in the air. Hands in the air. You know what that is? That's called surrender. You know, sometimes what causes us worry and anxiety, isn't it true? Sometimes it's because of decisions that we made, and there's consequences to those decisions. The Bible says we reap what we sow. And this is why it's important to be a believer in Christ, because when you trust in Christ, God gives you His Holy Spirit to live inside of you. And so you can overcome worry and anxiety as Christ lives in you. The Spirit gives you the power to do that. Sometimes, as a child of God, He allows trials and struggles and temptations in life not to cause us to stumble, but to enable us to stand. And it's to strengthen our faith. And sometimes the very thing that is causing us anxiety and stress has filtered through God's holy hand, and He's allowed it into our life, and we're begging Him to change the situation, to change the circumstance, and what God wants to change is you. And use the circumstance and the situation to do it. And so getting anxiety and worry over the current situation. And God says, I sent the situation so that you would call on me, lean on me, come spend time with me. And some of the best thing that some of us could do who are struggling with anxiety and worry today is to go home this afternoon, you get alone with Jesus, and put your hands in the air and just say, God, I surrender. You know me better than I know myself. You know what's good for me. I'm not going to bow my neck against this. I'm not going to try to change this. I received this from you. I'm going to endure it for your glory. Now, by your grace, help me walk through it. And we surrender. It's mind on Christ, knees on the floor, hands in the air. You do this, and I promise you, your faith will go stronger, and you will see firsthand why Paul said, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, pray. Pray. Third thing we notice about God, and we're landing the plane. God's peace is a result of our prayer. We want that peace that passes all understanding. We get it by prayer. Verse 7, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ. You keep reading into verse 9 and it gets better. You don't only get the peace of God, but look at what verse 9 says. Practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. You don't just get the peace of God, you get the God of peace. That's what prayer does. You need peace, you bring your worries to Christ. I'm telling you, it'll make all the difference in the world. It did for Jessica.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.